Welcome back to 80s Pop Tops. This is Shelby, and this is part two of our Bubbling Under for 1980. While the first episode focused mainly on pop, synth pop songs, and more of the pop sensibilities, the five that I've picked for today will tend to be more towards the rock, classic rock side. Now, as I have stated before, these are songs which did not end up in my top five for each month, but are really well known and maybe even sometimes you don't realize that the year they come out because they've become classics or they've been played for many other reasons just besides to symbolize the time period they came out in. So with that being said, welcome everybody and let's get going with my number five. That was Refugee by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. This was Tom Petty's first breakthrough hit. This is from his album Damn the Torpedoes. It was a first top 10 album as well. This song peaked at number 15 at the beginning of 1980 around January, February. As you can know, this is one of his first songs. This was before he decided that MTV was going to be something he embraced, which was, except for maybe Rod Stewart, was rare for most rock acts, especially rock bands. They kind of shied away at first, considering it more of a gimmick, and they didn't really want to be on there. But Tom Petty didn't have an issue with it and kind of embraced it. And so he started working out, and some of the earlier videos you can remember is Don't Come Around Here No More, the Creepy Alice in Wonderland video. There's also a futuristic one, that he did as well in the early 80s that I remember. It's one of the first videos I say. And Tom Petty himself is an American singer, very eccentric, very, very good. I mean, I liked him a lot. Especially towards the end of the 80s, that last album he did was one of my favorites. It really reminds me of my senior year in high school. Unfortunately, he died a few years ago. Smoked himself to death. But what can I say? It's what rockers do. Anyways, let's move on to our next one, number four. Now, this one may take you all a little bit of a by shock. Not that it wasn't in the top five, but that it was from this time, and it didn't do as well because it is definitely a classic. You hear it all the time, and I would guess by the time it's 3 seconds in, you're going to know exactly what song this is. That was You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. That was off their Back in Black album, which, believe it or not, did not hit number one. That album never hit number one. This song only peaked at 35, so you can see why I brought this one in. There is another podcast out there you guys should check out if you love music. He talks about there's this phenomenon that he labels the AC/DC theory, that the next album after a transformative album that didn't hit number one hits number one, even if it's not as good. And the album that followed this one was For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, which was a number one, which him and I kind of agree, this album with Hell's Bells, You Shook Me All Night Long, is so much better, but it never hit number one. It did well, but it didn't hit number one, and the one after it did, basically off the success of this album. You guys may know the story. This was Brian Johnson's first part of the lead singer for the band after Bon Scott had died. They had to replace him. And as a friend of mine had always said, it was amazing they found somebody with his voice just as gravelly and just as deep as him to replace him. Well, they're definitely not the same. They're similar, but you can tell the difference if you listen to them, even if you're not an AC/DC fan. There's a little bit of a difference, but to me, that there's two guys out there that could sing like this for this long without blowing out their voices has just always been amazing to me. So, as I said, this was only a number 35, so hey. Like I said, the charts aren't always indicative of how much a song culturally and figuratively the impact's going to be. The charts are just how it did at that time. With that being said, let's go on to our third song. And now this one is another one. This one did a little bit better, and this one definitely fits itself into the 1980. But believe it or not, was not a top five. So let's take a quick listen. That was Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. This was the second release off our Crimes of Passion album, the first release being You Better Run. If anybody out there remembers MTV, that was the second video they played. This was her second big hit, second release off Crimes of Passion. The first hit she had released, Heartbreaker, came out in 1979, so it just falls right out of our little area we're looking at here. But Pat Benatar is definitely one of the icons of the early 80s when it comes to music. Again, this is more of a rock song. It did peak at number 9, so it did very well. It just didn't do it to 5, so it would not have shown up in our survey. And I want to sound like a broken record with this. Sometimes the charts just see what people want to listen to on the radio and what they happen to buy as a single when they walk into the store. Never indicative of how good the song is or how much impact or how relevant it's going to be throughout its whole life. The song is used at sporting events. It's been used in movies. It's been covered before. Like I said, it's a chart's a chart. It doesn't mean the law and the end all and be all of everything out there. Well, let's go on. Our next one is another song. Now, this one falls into the category of, I didn't realize this song came out this early. Because this is a song, when it came out, or when MTV came out, was one of the ones I first remember seeing, and I fell in love with this group from this song, and definitely the lead singer of it as well. But when I was looking up for this, I was kind of surprised, because this song I had pegged or 1 or 2 years later than what it originally came out as. With that being said, let's just take a quick listen to the song.
Got this in pocket, got battle, I'm gonna use it, intention, I feel it. Been diving, detailed leaning, no visa, just seems so pleasing. Gonna make you notice. Gonna use my arms, gonna use my legs, gonna use my style, gonna use my sidestep.
That was Brass in Pocket by The Pretenders. This song reached number 14 as its peak. Now, this is one of those I kind of struggled with at first. This song was released in 1979 at the end, in December. It peaked in January of 1980. So it kind of was like, is it a 1980 song? Well, I took it at its peak, so it is. And to be honest with you, I thought it was even younger than that. I thought it was an 81 song, so it worked for many reasons in my book. This was the Pretenders' first big hit. It was one of their first songs they did real well here in the UK. Chrissy Hynde, as a matter of fact, said when she first heard it, when she heard her voice, she would cringe. It's kind of funny because a lot of people, when they first hear their recorded voice played back to them, they cringe. I must admit it's the same with me because my voice on a recording doesn't sound like the voice I hear when I speak, so I guess everybody's like that. But they went on to have a very good career, and Chrissy Hynde is being an amazing writer, singer, and been around for a long time. And like I said, when I remember this video, and then the whole thing with the Detroit leaning at the car, this was one of the first times I realized when it comes to rock vocals, I really enjoy women when they do rock vocals. There's so many out there that I enjoy, even up into harder stuff. I guess maybe I'll get into that at one point, because it just, I've come to realize that it's something I really enjoy. Anyways, so let's go on to our last song that was didn't make the top five in 1980, but definitely has had a lot of impact, and it's been around for a very long time. And this one, I definitely think this one has a lot of story behind it, has a lot of things with it. But if you're like me, I bet you would be surprised that it's as old as it is. Let me play it for you. Crazy Train by Ozzy Osbourne. This was his first solo single from his album Blizzard of Oz. This was also, as some of you may know, some of you may not know, the guitarist on this was Randy Rhoads. At that time, the former guitarist for Quiet Riot. Now, here's the thing that I kind of always got confused on. Quiet Riot had been around for a while when their song Come On, Feel the Noise came out a couple years later after this. They were not a new band. They were actually one of the older bands that had been around since the 70s. Randy had left the band to become Ozzy's guitarist for this album and tour. Later on, Randy died in a plane crash in Florida, so this song has even more importance. It's one of the last times he was on an album, and when Quiet Riot did do real well, they were a completely different band. They had a different guitarist and everything. Also this week, where some of this comes from, there's a book that came out called Nothing But a Good Time. This chronicles the hard rock, hair metal, which I consider derogatory, glam hard rock 80s music. It goes through all of it. If you are into all of that, I highly suggest you get that book and read it. It's amazing. It even has a quote written by Slipknot's frontman, that because he was my age, which I found out while listening to the book. He says, a lot of this music has gotten a bad rap lately because of the misogynistic overtones, you know, the women in the videos and all that. And he says, you can take that from that, but when I was back then, that's not how I saw it. And I agree with him. It's more of, it was just a fantasy. Yes, it was a male fantasy. I'm not going to argue that with you, but it was a fantasy. Nobody took any of that seriously. That's how that worked. To me, it is the music that I grew up. This, and as I've spoken before, and Freestyle are my two 80s candies, treasures I love to death. I love all 80s music, but those two have a lot of meaning for me growing up. But this song didn't even chart. It did not make the 100, top 100. It got number six on the Bubbling Under the 100 chart, which is just amazing to me because this song is ubiquitous now. It's played all the time. It's what you think of when you think of Ozzy. It's one of his biggest songs. You think of Randy Rhoads and his guitar solo. It's amazing that this song, when it came out at the end of 1980, barely made a dent anywhere. It just shocks me. But I think that also speaks to, at that time, the industry mindset of hard rock and like almost proto metal music was dinosaur, was going out of style. We don't want it. It doesn't sell. Well, it doesn't sell if you don't push it. There's an audience for everything. You just need to find it. And it's really lazy to just sit there and say there's no audience and just fail to promote anything, because you can find an audience for anything if you put in the work. Well, anyways, that is my complete top 10 songs from 1980 that didn't make the top five charts, that have a very heavy impact and are still considered classics to this day. I really thank all of you for joining me once again. This has been fun, and I'm going to keep this up. If you can, please drop a line to the email. It's always in the description of this when you have the page. Any kind of impact or suggestions are welcome, as long as they're not, you know, negative. Negatives don't work, because if you're not helping, you're just being negative to be negative. Nobody cares. So thank you all for listening, and hopefully next week we can dive into some more 80s music as we begin 1981 and we move on through the 80s. Thank you, and I'll speak to you all again.